The fact of the matter is, just because we're Christians and we say God is on our side, does not dismiss the fact that we're going to go through trials and pressures of life. In fact, as Christians, I think we go through more trials and pressures than non-Christians do. I'm just going to read over James chapter 1, verses 2 to 5 again, and I want to unpack verses 3 and 4 in this session a bit more. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let that endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I'm a very practical guy. And as you guys know, I work in the secular world. Right now I'm working in Croatia. We moved there, me and my family moved there about 6 weeks ago. This opportunity come up to go to Croatia from my German company here. So for the last 2 years I've worked for a German firm in Gifhorn, in Wiesendorf. The village is called Wiesendorf. And we manufacture oil and gas equipment. Before that, my background in this oil and gas equipment manufacturing came from Canada, where we spent the last 6 years before moving to Germany. That's where we were before that. What I want to talk about is the last 6 weeks has been such a challenge for us, for me personally at work. Such a trial and lots of pressures. You know, Croatia is a fantastic, beautiful place to be. Absolutely. But work-wise and business-wise, it's very corrupt. You know, I believe God has sent me down there because that's His will for me. That's where God wants me to be right now. But I must admit, moving the last 6 weeks, starting a new job, preparing for these sessions for AFCU has been such a challenge and a trial for me. But I started way back in Canada that I want to talk about how God tested and sent me under pressures to prepare me for where I am at now. I started at a company in Canada called Enerflow. And for sure, that was a very good starting point for me to share my faith within the workplace. Because before that, it really didn't happen. At this time, like I said last night, this is where I gave 3 days to the Lord. And then God gave me a bit of a kick. And I was back onto His path. And walk in His will. So I started at this company called Enerflow, and God surrounded me, although I didn't know it at the time, with other Christians. And so it was very easy for me, let's say that, to share a bit of my faith with people. I started off as a mechanic on the shop floor, and I was so worried about this job. Every day whilst driving to work, I would pray for wisdom. And I'm going to come on to that in session 3 tonight. But God sent trials and challenges during that time. But He sent trials and challenges that I could actually face, I could endure, and I could conquer. This time at Enerflow in Canada really was the foundation for what was to come in the future. After 3 months of being at Enerflow as a mechanic on the shop floor, my prayer was answered with, God give me wisdom. And I was promoted to a team leader building million-dollar units for the oil and gas industry. 1 year after that, I was running the complete production workshop and the service area. I don't stand up here and claim that glory for myself because it was not of me. I prayed every day. I remember I look back at these times of trials and pressures, and I prayed for wisdom every single day. And I see where I come from as a mechanic on the shop floor to run in the production department of this million-dollar equipment that we would put out the door. This led us to open up an opportunity in Germany for us. The Lord said to us when I got the kick up the bum at Criseo, He said to us that we would be in Germany, we would be living in Germany by the summer of 2012. And we really didn't know how this was going to happen because, as I said, I'm a practical guy. I have to provide for my family, you know. So for me, we needed jobs. We needed, you know, debt that we have in Canada. We had cars in Canada. And, you know, this job, this foundation. These trials and pressures that I went through in Canada at this job allowed us to obtain a job here so that we could move as God told us that he would have us here in the summer of 2012. So 2 years ago, just a little bit more, we moved to Germany and I started my new job in Germany. I don't speak the language. I really didn't understand the culture, because when I was here as a British soldier, you're in your kind of bubble here and you don't really go out into the German community, and it's really tough. So I went from, you know, my culture into a Canadian culture, which is very relaxed, very open. People are very given there. And then coming into a German culture, which is very different, you know. And it was a struggle for me because I didn't know the language. The culture's completely different. The guys really didn't accept me for who I was. I didn't come in as a mechanic. I come in as a production manager. So there's so many different pressures on me at that time as a leader coming into an established company already to try and develop and train these guys into the production department that it needed to be. But if I hadn't gone through the trials and pressures at Enerflow in Canada, then it wouldn't have prepared me for what I was to face in Germany. There's so many different trials and pressures that I faced here in Germany through my work that it allowed me to prepare me for the next stage, which is Croatia. And for sure, if God had picked me out of this place back when, you know, he gave me the boot and put me into Croatia, I would have failed. I wouldn't have been able to endure that. And these tests we must endure to get to the next level. For me, not only spiritually, but in this life, practically speaking, that's what it's been like for me. If I endure this test here and stay faithful to God of what he's got for me in those tests, he will then put me onto the next level, and then to the next level. Sometimes it's really hard to endure these trials and this testing. And sometimes we resign ourselves to just living an average life. Sometimes we're just happy just to get by, day by day. But you know what? Jesus didn't die just so that we could just get by. He didn't give all so that we could give none. Jesus didn't die just so that we could get by, using all our strength just to cope, just to pass this next few days or weeks or months. Jesus died so that we could have life, abundant life, a life that would change the world. We're going to look at Exodus right now and learn about how Moses led the Israelites out of their captivity under the Egyptians. You know, the Egyptians, to me, when I read the story, they really just, you know, they were just putting up with life. They were just happy to get by. They were under this strict thumb of the Egyptians, working day and night. But they didn't do anything about it. They were just happy to get by, just to struggle on the next few hours during their day, just to get past this day into the next day. I'm going to read from Exodus 14, chapter 10. And this is after Moses leads the Israelites out of Egypt. And he's heading towards the promised land, or heading towards the promise of the blessing of God. But as the Egyptians come out of their hardship after their trials, after their pressures, after living day by day with all the struggles and the pains of that, and then seeing, you know, God doing miracles within Egypt to pull them out of there, Moses is now leading the Israelites out of Egypt. And this is where the scripture picks up. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone. Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians.' For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to his people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." I hope you like the Prince of Egypt. It's one of my good movies. I like it. When the Israelites left Egypt, they entered into the life God had intended them for their lives. But almost immediately, once they started walking in God's will, they hit a hurdle. And isn't our lives like that? Like I explained before, you know, as soon as I gave my life to the Lord, you know, this hurdle come up. Let's have a look at the scripture real quick here. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. That was their hurdle. And they become very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. They started to complain. How many times do we find ourselves during trials and pressures complaining? Saying to God, "Lord, why do you have me in this place right now? What is going on here, Lord?" So many times, you know, maybe I'm in an argument with my wife, and they're probably the worst arguments in our lives, probably just like you guys too. You know, when we're arguing, you know, sometimes I look up to the Lord and say, "Hey, what's going on here? Why am I arguing with my wife right now? Why is this problem in my life right now? I'm just like it says in the scripture here. Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone. Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians.' For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." You know, see right there, the Israelites are saying, it would be better for us to stay enslaved to the Egyptians, because their perspective is only their perspective. They don't get God's perspective in this whole deal. "For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." You know, God has got a better plan for these Israelites here, but they don't see it. Please understand that when we entered into the relationship with Jesus Christ, spiritually we left Egypt and we started on our own journey to the promised land. God's journey, God's path. The promised land is not heaven. It represents the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. But most of us would agree our hearts were like the corn when we started, were they not? Just like the Israelites here. You know, this passage is fantastic because you see God's gracefulness and his mercies. He's just shown them in Egypt that he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and he can do anything. And so all these miracles that happened in Egypt still wasn't enough to build up their faith so that they didn't complain at this point. But God was so gracious that he said, "Do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." Even though sometimes we fall short and the trial is too much for us, we can count that God is there beside us, just like we sung in the songs before. He's all around us. He's there to guide us. He's there to lead us. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Isn't that a great promise? It kind of strengthens me, because sometimes at work when, you know, I have two managers, two senior managers that work beside me. They're Croatian guys and they're really nice guys in their way, but because they've grown up in this Croatian culture, it's very corrupt. And it's very hard for me as a Christian guy to stand back and let these corrupt things going on. That's my trial, my pressure right now, you know. So many times I've been into meetings and I'm scratching my head because the confusion that's in these meetings and the corrupt way they want to deal with things is just blows my mind. God prepared me for these meetings. He prepared me for where I'm at right now. Because if he'd have taken me as the hard kernel of corn over here and put me in Croatia, then I don't know God's way, but in my eyes I would have failed. I wouldn't have been able to endure that time that I'm at right now. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Trials and pressures are used by God for a reason, to turn this hard kernel of corn into a beautiful, tasty snack. Trials and pressures are to adjust our patterns of living the wrong way into living the right way. If today we can understand that trials and pressures of life were not designed by God, but brought about by our sinful nature, and then God allows and uses these trials and pressures of life for the common good to train and develop us into being more like Christ, then shouldn't we be happy about this? You know, I keep talking about my work life, but that's where my ministry is. That's where I see God has grown me from the corn to the, you know, coming into the popcorn. You know, I couldn't share my faith kind of like I do now in the workplace. You know, God trained me back here and put me through trials and pressures so that I understood that I couldn't just be full out with my faith to someone on the shop floor. I needed to build a relationship. I needed to build respect with these guys. They needed to see me differently. They couldn't just see me in maybe my corrupt ways, maybe as a hard kernel of corn. They couldn't see that. But, you know, God has trained me over the years in my ministry, which I call my work, to be able to shine a light in those places and allow people to see me differently, because I'm meant to reflect God's image. So, you know, I really like to look back from where I'm at right now and look back to where I was, because I can see the changes and I can see the growth and I can see how God has changed me. And I think today we really need to look back into our lives to see where God has been using the different trials and the different pressures to change us into the person that we are now. God's not finished with us right now. He's still got trials and pressures for us, absolutely, until the day that we die. But we know that we're getting changed from the hard kernel of corn into a tasty, acceptable, good-smelling snack that's acceptable to God. The good news is we can stay positive under pressure. Why? Because God turns the trials and pressures of life into development tools. We can go through the hot situations and come out a more tastier snack, pleasing to God. I want to finish up here with 3 points. The first one is recognize God's purpose for the trial. You know, events in our lives, I don't believe, just happen by chance. I believe God is in control of everything. I think some events that happened in the past, you know, God uses and is in control of everything. And, you know, things just don't happen by chance. Like I was saying earlier, I think in February, Mark asked me to preach on this weekend. And at that time, I was going through so many trials and pressures. We were deciding whether we was going to move to Croatia. We was deciding whether we was going to lay down everything that we had here and move to Croatia. We was in a place that, you know, I couldn't even think about anything else except for what was in my life at that time. And, you know, things don't happen by chance. You know, I believe Mark got the word from God and passed it on to me. And, you know, it's been fantastic, because this scripture here, for me, has been my last, you know, 3-4 months here. And it's great that I can speak to you guys on a practical level, you know, and bring out from the Bible just some teachings that, you know, I can see practically in my life. Just as he had a purpose in bringing out the children of Israel to the Red Sea, he has a purpose for our Red Sea today. When we are facing difficulties in life, God wants to accomplish in us things that will bring glory to himself. He wants to teach us to trust him more. Verse 4 states this, "But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and his armies, and the Egyptians will know that I am Lord." You know, the Red Sea trial that we're facing today, in the future, serves a purpose in our lives. We need to recognize that purpose that God has for us. We can come through this ordeal with a stronger faith than we've had before. He knows your faith right now. He knows the level of it. And as we see before in 1 Corinthians, this is from the Message, No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He will never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. You know, I believe God knows us. For sure He knows us. And He knows our faith levels. And He knows how much we can be tested. But He uses that testing to develop us into more Christ-like people. He knows about the times when we just want to throw in the towel, when we've had enough, when we put our hands up and say, God, why do you have us in this place right now? He knows how painful it is. The times we lie awake at night and just wonder, why am I in this situation? Why did this happen to me? He knows about it. But just like we've just sung, for weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God is not troubling you. He is not punishing you. All the evil that happens is not from God. But He uses it. He uses it to take us from the hard piece of corn to the tasty snack. Number two. Retain God's perspective. When we find ourselves facing what appears to be an impossible situation, we often lose our perspective. And it was great last night. I'm going to pull Dave up again here. And, you know, Dave shared a story with me last night that fits perfectly into this. He's going through trials and pressures right now as a family. And God showed him a different perspective. You don't mind me sharing, Dave, hey? Okay, good. He was kind of, you know, in his little bubble, in his little world of this trial and pressure. And, you know, I believe God wanted to show him that your perspective of this trial and pressure is not my perspective. So Dave was riding his bike to work, or to the train station, I think it was, and he passes by one of the British camps, and he's standing there, and he looks over, and he sees this wife and one of the British soldiers, and he had all his kit on, and obviously it was a farewell time for them, and obviously he's going off maybe to Afghanistan for 6 months or wherever he's going, it was a sad time. And Dave looked over to it and was like, wow. You know, I'm so into my trial and pressure right now. I just see my perspective. But, you know, God opened his eyes to see, wow, you know, here's another perspective here. So I think we need to get God's perspective. And for sure, we're not God. We can't see the big picture like God does. But just as God uses trials and pressures in our life, we need to understand that He's using these trials and pressures for our good. That's God's perspective about the situation. He's not doing it to punish us. He's not doing it because we didn't do something right. He's doing it to train us and to develop us into the people that He wants us to be. Just like I said, you see, when we face these situations of trials and problems, it's very easy for us to lose focus, to lose our perspective on the situation. We need to concentrate on what God has for us in that moment. And it's very hard because, you know, James tells us that we should consider it all joy. Sometimes we can't consider it all joy during that trial, during that problem. But James tells us that we must consider it all joy. Sometimes when we face these situations, we just want to get out of them. We don't want to endure that trial. We just want to run as far as we can. When I get into an argument with my wife, sometimes I get to a point where I just don't want to know. And I just want to walk away. I don't want to endure that. I don't want to go through that trial. My wife does.
Neither do I.
My wife doesn't have a problem with it. She wants to hammer it and get it over and done with. But I'm kind of, okay, I'm done here. I'm going. You know, God does have a plan for us. He knows what we need to endure. He knows the trial that we must face. Because He wants to change us from here to there. Maybe there's someone in here right now and you said, things are too much. Don't worry, you're not on your own. Things are too much. I'm at this Red Sea. I've got the enemy coming up behind me. The mountains are here and there's a big vast sea here. And I don't see any way out. I don't see it. How am I going to get out of this situation? But trust in the Lord. He has an escape plan for you. It says it in His scripture. He will not give you a trial that you cannot face and you cannot endure. So let's keep God's perspective and not our own perspective. Just as God had great things in store for the children of Israel, He has great things in store for you. To settle for second best, which is our best, is not good enough. God has a better plan for us. And it says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." You know, these scriptures that I keep pulling out, we need to go back to them in times of troubles, because this is where we're going to pull our joy from. We pull our joy from the Lord. It says it in His scripture, and we can come back to this every time we find ourselves in a problem, a trial, a suffering. This is why we should consider it all joy, because God has a plan for us. If we can endure this trial, look at what God's going to create in us and develop in us. Okay, and the last one here. Rely on God's promises. A motivational speaker once said, "If your success was guaranteed, wouldn't you be willing to endure just about anything? If you had an ironclad contract stating that if you dig ditches in the rain every day for 6 months, you will have complete financial freedom, wouldn't you be willing to dig these ditches?" The answer is obviously yes. You know, in the scriptures, we see that our end result as a Christian is success, because the Lord has already defeated the enemy. You know, for me, I have an ironclad contract because Jesus gave it all for me. This is another thing that we need to pull from when we rely on God's promises. They're throughout the Bible. It's very important for us to take what's in the Bible and read it. We need to read it and then put it into action. Reading of the Bible without action doesn't turn into wisdom. And that's what we need to do on a daily basis. As we go through our trials and pressures, the answers are in the Bible. His promises are in the Bible. And that's what we need to rely on. So when we come back to the scripture of James where he says, "Consider it all joy," we can start to consider our trials and our pressures all joy. Now, I'm not going to say we can certainly say everything is going to be joyful. It's not. It's going to be hard. It's going to be trialing. It's going to be pressures. But we need to come back to God's promises and what He tells us in the Bible. You know, if we can just concentrate during our trials and pressures that the Lord has a bigger plan for us in our life, that He has plans to prosper us, not plans to harm us, and plans for the future, then even in the worst of trials, we know that we're going to be turned and developed and changed into something else. And that's what I want to share with you today in this session. Enduring the trial, enduring the battle, enduring the suffering, and considering it all joy. If you are facing a Red Sea problem this morning, we want to pray for you. I'm going to ask Ruth to come up in a second, and she's going to play a song. You can sing along if you want to in your chairs. I'd like if Mark can be available for prayer, and Cole and Fiona at the front here. I'm not asking you to, you know, come forward, but if you want to, if you're in a Red Sea moment at the moment and you can't see your escape route, if you don't know where God's going to intervene, if you're just stuck like the Israelites were. They couldn't go forward because of the Red Sea. They couldn't go back because of their enemy, and they had mountains on the side of them. And the enemy was coming in fast. If you're there this morning, let me tell you, the Lord has an escape plan for you. We'd like you to, I'm going to call Ruth up right now. I'm going to pray, and then, you know, if you don't want to come forward for prayer, that's absolutely fine. Just sit in your seats, focus in on the song, focus in on the Lord. And let's tackle that Red Sea today. Let's endure this trial today. The pain and the suffering that you might be going through today, joy will come. The Lord has a plan for your life. plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future, a plan to turn you into the hard kernel of corn into a tasty, beautiful snack that your husband, that your wife, that your kids can enjoy, and most of all, that God can enjoy. So let's pray. And if you feel it on your heart that you need prayer, then please come forward. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness, Lord. We know in the bottom of our hearts that you're purely good and you're purely righteous, Lord. For your ways are the best way. Lord, we come to you this morning with our troubles and our trials and our pressures, Lord. Lord, I come to you this morning with the pressures and the trials that I'm facing in Croatia. Lord, that is my Red Sea right now. Lord, sometimes I go to work and I just see no way out. But your scripture says differently, Lord. You said that you have an escape plan for me. You said that you've got plans for goodness for me, Lord. Plans for my future. Lord, and I'm holding to your promise right now. Lord, I just open this up right now for your Holy Spirit to be here with us, to bring healing, to bring comfort, to bring an escape route, Lord. Build up our faith this weekend, Lord, so that we can endure the trials that we must go through to turn into the people you've called us to be.